The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Today, I believe, is just going back to the basics. Let's just talk. And understanding what it means to be a disciple. And that God did not tell us to raise converts. He told us to raise disciples and even disciple nations. In 1 Peter 4, 7 to 8, it says, spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Timothy, sorry. What did I say? 1 Peter. I'm sure my head is still sleeping. Wake up. 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Bodily exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is much more important, and it's a tonic for all you do. So exercise yourself spiritually and practice being a better Christian, because that will help you not only in this life, but in the next life too. This is Apostle Paul writing to his spiritual son and say, you know what? It's good for you to exercise, for you to gym. By January, beginning of the year, you see people, the gym is full. By the end of January, it's empty. By February, we don't see them again, because everybody make resolution. You make a resolution, you want to have a diet, and you go. Some people do it very well. But the Bible says that one profits little. That the one that is more important is spiritual exercise. And that spiritual exercise is the tonic for all you do. In other words, the spiritual exercise that you do will be the one that will feed your soul, feed your body. The Bible says the life of the body is in the spirit. And if your spirit man is strong, then something will happen. We must spend our time to exercise ourselves spiritually. Whether you are a pastor, like I always tell people, people that should spend their time more in doing spiritual exercises are not even pastors, to say. I'm not saying pastors should not do. Because for me, I don't see a lot of darkness every day. There are many of you. You walk in some places that you must see darkness. And if your light is not strong, you know, the rod of wickedness can rest upon your head, and you can stretch your hand to do evil. And you'll be asking yourself, how come I deteriorated so much that I'm doing that? So many people in the marketplace, you are the one to do a lot of spiritual exercise. I call this back to the basics, because these are the things we teach in the basic when you get born again. And sometimes we forget this thing. The Bible says, do not forget the days of little beginning. Do not forget it. Those things you used to do that kept you fit. Those things that we no longer do it anymore. Why? Because it is not, grace has come. I want to see how Jesus treated grace. Grace is a higher standard. He said it was said to you that you should not commit and sleep with another person. I'm paraphrasing. He said, but now I say, if you look. That means that grace actually empowers you to do what you were not able to do before. Because the law requires, but grace enables. And so you must understand that as you begin to go into this year, is a year of 5779, the Hebraic calendar, and it's the year of the Holy Spirit. As we begin to wind up this year, it's now time for us to ask ourselves, this year, have I walked with the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That means that the same way Jesus interacted in this world as a perfect model of a Christian is the same way we are supposed to operate. Jesus gave us a standard. And what is the standard? You can do better than I did. It's a greater works you will do than I did. If Daniel was 10 times better and John the Baptist was greater than Daniel, and Jesus said I should do greater things, what should I be operating at? I should not be operating at 10 times better. Am I making sense at all? And so I want to talk about today, staying spiritually fit as a disciple. How do I stay spiritually fit as a disciple? And I need to ask us, we need to ask ourselves today, are we spiritually fit for what is going to come? There are some things that there are people that will be going through the same crisis. One will be laughing, the other one will be crying, one will commit suicide. Why? Same thing. The Bible says your wall should be fortified, your gate should be fortified. In other words, there are many people, they are under attack, they don't even know it. There are others, they are under attack, they are dead. It's not because of the circumstances. The circumstances around you should not panic you. In fact, their discipleship is not dependent on the circumstance that you go through. The question we should be asking ourselves, am I spiritually fit? Let us look at ourselves in the realm of the spirit. Are you spiritually fit? You can be bodily fit. You can have all the chest. You can be a 45-year-old man and look like a 25. It's okay. They say that one profits little. But which one is more important? Your spirit man. And question we need to ask ourselves, what are the exercises that we need to do on a daily basis? It's not a one-off transaction. It's not whether you like it or not. Listen, whether the child, there are women that, especially our grandmothers, you say a child does not want to eat, give the child to the grandmother. The child will eat that pap. That cereal, the child will drink it. All they need to do is to put the child between their legs, turn their head and close their nose, because they don't want the child to choke. That food will go down the drain. Am I making sense? There are some things that are good for your spirit. There are some things that are good for your soul. And there are some things that are good for your body. You are tri-dimensional and you must minister in this way. I told you there are two things I don't like as a believer. Fasting and all night. But I must do it. Whether you like carbohydrate or you don't like, whether you like protein or you don't like, whether you like vitamin or you do not like it, for you to stay healthy, you must eat it. Because the stomach does not know which food is sweet. The stomach knows carbohydrate, protein. So all this one that is not sweet to the mouth is not a problem. That's why I tell people, the will of God is not sweet to the taste, but it nourishes the body. But the will of God, the will of man or the fear of man, very sweet to the taste, but does not nourish the body. I want to share with you some exercises we need to start doing, spiritual exercises that you must do every day, every week, every month, every year. Whether it's raining, that you need to cover yourself in blanket, whether it's cold. I was seated one time and I was listening to John Maxwell. He said, 5 things I do every day. Whether it's New Year, whether it's Christmas, whether it's celebration time, whether it's not celebration time, these 5 things I must do every day. He said, I read every day, I write every day, I think every day. I file every day. I ask questions every day. 5 things I must do every day. They asked him how. He said, every day. How do you write one book, one word at a time? One word at a time. It's adding up. There are people, just imagine I write a book. I said, this book is on dieting. And the dieting is that for 6 days you will fast. On the last day you eat anyhow. Six days fast, last day eat anyhow. Some of you are laughing, but that's exactly how we do. Monday to Saturday, we fast spiritually. Then on Sunday, we come for sermon, we worship the Lord. Number one, renew and re-energize and renew your spirit, your strength through worship. True worship. I see many believers who said, I come to church for the word. After the word, I just drop my offering outside and move. Say, what about praise and worship? I said, I don't have time. And you know, sometimes we tell ourselves, this is the main thing. Now we have come to the main aspect of the service. Let's introduce the man of God. I'm not saying that is not nice. But really, what prepares us to hear? Worship. If I have 1 hour to pray, just know that I will worship for 50 minutes. Because you have more to say in 10 minutes than when you speak for 15 minutes and worship for 10 minutes. Because what will you say to this God? In Isaiah 40 verse 31, he said, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Every time you are going through crisis, there's no time to start panicking. The first thing, because the thing that is coming against you is bigger than you. The problem is bigger than you, but it's not bigger than your God. And all you need to do is to just stay in that place. Quiet your spirit and begin to worship. David said, I will lift up my eyes to the east. Where is my help coming? My help coming from no one else but from the Lord. In other words, David knew, understood that it's time for me to constantly renew my spirit. He said, restores my soul. He restores my soul. In the place of his presence, your spirit man is renewed, is re-energized. Things that are offensive or things that will bring down people will not bring you down. Why? You are constantly surrounded with worship. Every time I enter a hotel room, the first thing I want to put is to put on my device and begin to play worship music. Why? I don't know what has been done in that room. Whether somebody may have prayed, somebody may have been raped, somebody may have done anything. And I need to shift atmospheres. As a worshiper, you are a shifter of atmosphere. The Bible says God is looking for worshipers, not worship. Renew your strength. They that wait upon the Lord. Waiting in scriptures is not about sitting down and doing nothing. That's not the waiting. That's not biblical waiting. Biblical waiting is following the cloud. Where are you going now? That's what biblical waiting is. It's not following the crowd. You can follow the crowd and the cloud is missing. The moment in the Old Testament, they follow the cloud. As they follow the cloud, when the cloud settles, it settles. It doesn't matter whether they settled last day. When they settled yesterday and the cloud is moving tomorrow, they are moving. They bring down the tabernacle and they are going. Why? It is the cloud that shows them where to go. There are many of us that we even plan for God and say, God, follow us. Just follow me. And sometimes worship is spiritual tune-up. You want to tune your body. Before you do some exercise, they'll say you should warm up. You find out that when they are playing, we just finished the AFCON. And before some players enter the field, they warm up. That's what worship does for you. It tunes you up. Worship is a very great thing. I like to worship. I like to stay in the presence of God because in that presence, your worries are tamed. Your worries are tamed. In Psalm 94, 95, verse 4, it says, He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountain. The one that holds the world in his hand is the one I want to follow. I don't know tomorrow, but I know the holder of tomorrow. Yes, and that will calm you down as you begin to worship. In John 4, 24, it says, For God is worship, for his spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You must understand that God is a spirit man. As I begin to quiet my mind and quiet my soul. You know, when problem comes your way, when problem comes your way, you are disturbed. But I tell you, as you begin to worship, as you begin to sing, as you begin to set your affection towards the Lord. And that's why I tell people, when you want to sleep, you don't want to do any bad dreams, stop watching that late night movie. Stop watching this thing. As you are on your bed, set your affection on the Lord. As you set your affection on the Lord to love him and to do everything, what will happen is that you wake up and you know what? Your affection is still on him. And he speaks to you because you see, I prepare to go to sleep. You know why? For me, sleep is worship. It speaks to me more in my sleep than when I'm awake. So I prepare to, I don't fall asleep. I go to sleep. Because your spirit man is at work in your sleep. The Bible says, my presence will go with you and I will give you. What gives rest? It's not sleep that gives rest, it's his presence. My presence will go with you and I will give you. That's why some people, without his presence, sleep for all you care. You wake up tired. And that's why some of you need to have some. That's why God gave you some phones that the battery does not go down on time. Instead of saving the phone for social media, the battery for social media, save it to worship so that you can shift atmospheres. May you shift atmosphere this week. Increase the depth of your peace of mind through prayer. Increase the depth of the peace of your peace of mind through prayer. Everything that will come against you. You know, I don't watch news a lot. Even some of the news that they say on social media, I don't even look at it. I know how my mind works. You know, I was coming today and I discovered in America, when America was fighting the war with Japan, they thought there would be nuclear war. So you know what was happening? Companies were started to build underground bunkers for America. The underground bunkers they never used. There are some news that will come your way today. You will pack out of this country. Because your mind will be at peace. You will leave your house. And how do you do that? Through prayer. In Philippians 4, 6 to 7, Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Philippi. These people, we are not so wealthy. You see, money, if you are not careful, money to some extent can make you think you have power. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. Because money makes you to have options. And if money makes you to have options, you know what? You don't pray anymore. Because you have options. A man, his hand was amputated and he said, which type of sport will I play? Because he's a sportman and he decided to play handball. Handball is like putting a leather over your hand and you are hitting the ball very hard against as it's coming. And he became the champion and they asked him, how come you won? He said, options. He said, when the ball is coming against him, he has only one option because he has only one hand. He said, for the other players, they have two. They'll be deciding on which hand to use. Him, one. No options. Many of us have option A1 to option A4, or even up to option A26. No option. David did not have any option than to pray. His father forsook him. The brothers forsook him. The mother forsook him. And even the people, the last people that forsook him were the people he brought to the cave of Adullam and trained. And the only thing he did was that, give me the room and the Urim. And he began to inquire from the Lord. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, church in Philippi was not so wealthy. And he said, don't worry about anything. Because listen to me, one of the things that will make you worry not very hard is the lack of cash. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer, present your request to God. And the peace of God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The first thing that happens to you when you pray is not that you will find the answer, is that there will be unusual peace. Unusual peace. It will guard your heart. It will guard your mind. And the peace of God that superseded understanding. Listen, if you try to understand, you won't have that peace. You have that peace. In Matthew 7, 7 to 11, Jesus was saying, ask and it will be given to you. More than 20 times in the New Testament, he said, ask. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The reason we don't ask is that our parents, every time we present our request, they will cut it short. Sometimes your parents will ask me, why didn't you ask me 2 months ago? Today we now think that if we don't ask God on time, God cannot perform on time. But we serve a God that can meet your need 2 years before it comes. It can also meet your need just in time. It can even meet your need after the need has appeared. He's not limited by time. We need to pray. Tap your friends, say pray. You didn't say it very well, say pray. When we come to do a key of David, we come to worship and we come to pray. And sometimes it looks like a waste of time. The Bible says they were going to worship in the wilderness. And Pharaoh says, because you don't have work, that's why you are going to worship. When people come to pray, some people will tap and say, what's happening? Do you have any problem? Because we have turned prayer to emergency. May you not have a fire extinguisher that you did not use before. Then the time you want to use it is gone, because you don't service it. Amen. Look at your friend. Say pray. You didn't say it very well. Say pray. Look, turn to the next person. Say worship. 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 I remember one time I got up to pray and I was studying 1 a.m. and they said there were robbers in our office. That was the second time they were coming, and I was listening to Benny Johnson talking about the joyful intercessor. And she gave a test. That's why testimony is very good. She gave a testimony. They were in the waiting room, and the daughter-in-law was giving birth, and they said the child had complication. And she quieted herself and said, Lord, what are you doing now? The moment he said that, I paused and I asked God, what are you doing now that they are in our office? And they said, you can stop it. So I stopped it. They were still there when the police came. They did not carry anything. I don't know where they dropped the tablet. They didn't take anything. Why? Because you see, most times people tell you that prayer is, now only pray that they pray. Do something! What strategy do you have when you have not gotten the real strategy? The strategy you used for last problem, don't try to use it now. It won't work. We have many options. No, we are a generation with creativity and options. The next one is increase the strength of your commitment through fellowship. The strength of your commitment to fellowship. When you take a broom out of a park, you can break it. But when the broom is in a park, you cannot break that broom. Why? Because there's power in community. Many young people, you are going to be a mixed meat for the enemy, because you know why? You don't know the power of community. The people telling you that you should be individualistic. Be yourself. Don't they have network? They have. They have people they submit to. Individualism has killed more Christians than the devil. You can listen, there's no solo Christianity. No solo Christianity. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another, all the more since you see the day of the Lord is coming nearer. In other words, as we are in the last days and we are coming into that place where Jesus is coming back, the more intensity of fellowship is needed. Intense fellowship. It's in the place of fellowship that encouragement. What's encouragement? Being prophetic. There's somebody that writes people's prophecy down, so that when the person wants to cancel you, it's not telling you it is well. No. Peter, we're praying one day and this is what the Lord said. Maybe Peter has forgotten. And the problem is coming. As I release that word and bring it from that arsenal to talk about it, because counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. A man of understanding will bring it out. There is something about fellowship that nobody can do it. You can worship God alone, but you cannot fellowship alone. So that means that you may be breaking God's command by not fellowshipping. There are people that will tell you, I don't have time. There's no time for timelessness. Coming to church is a waste of time. I can tell you that. I don't even want to be in church this morning. Same thing. I don't want to eat food. But I must eat. Same thing. I don't want to fast. But fasting is compulsory. Fellowship. We say, no, don't worry. I will stream online. Don't worry, I watch TV. When you have problem, hug the TV. Let the TV come and pat you, say, it is well. We are just here to pray with you. All those things are supplements. They are not the real thing. They are supplements. You know what supplement? they are supplements. We can call them dessert. We can call them appetizer. They're not the main thing. You need human beings to interact with. When a baby is not hugged, they practicalize, a baby can die. We need that fellowship, intense fellowship. And you know what? To fellowship is sacrifice. To come for a meeting like this every week, every midweek, and you interact with people in life group, it's sacrifice. Today I don't believers don't want to sacrifice again. Let's say this service is going up to 12 o'clock. Ah, you begin to see now, wow. Not be smart, you know. You see, sometimes I like to sit around fathers who have gone ahead, and I want to collect their values. Their values. Those values are intrinsic. Those values are eternal. Those values of sitting down for 5 hours and they are listening. That's why when we have our schools, we drill you. Because coming to church every weekend for 2 hours, for 52 Sundays, if you came judiciously for 52 Sundays, you have stayed in church for less than 1 week. You have just stayed in church for 4 days. And you expect to be spiritually sound. Just imagine you want to go to Olympics. And in a year, you go to the gym 4 days. And you are wondering, oh, is the devil that stole the medal? Which devil? No. The people that will do Olympics, after the last Olympics, they started practicing for the next 4 years. Vigorously. Same thing. You have to be practicing vigorously spiritually. One of them is the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 46, the first century believers, this is what they did. It said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Three of those things were human interactions. Only one was with God, prayer. And what did the Bible say? Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and have everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness, with glad and with sincere hearts. They were meeting in a big gathering like this and meeting in a small gathering. That is what is fellowship. Today, we need those things to high interaction. High interactions. There are somebody that should come and look at you in the face and say, my brother, you are proud. It's in fellowship you do that. Because the people know you. As you came here now, you are all gagged up. You look at me and say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, in my mind, I think you are humble. It's somebody that knows you. In the place of that, say, my brother, I've seen you interact with two people. The way you interacted, you are arrogant. Listen. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. There are some wounds you need in your life. When they stab you, it's a wound. Is that not true? Yeah. When a surgeon cuts you, it's still a stab. It's still a cut, it's still a stab. But you see, one is for your healing. One is for your destruction. But you need that faithful wounds. Somebody should slap you and say, sit down. And it's a place of fellowship that we know one another. We know you are blowing too hot. There must be somebody you must welcome in your life in fellowship that said, when I'm too hot about my wife, tell me. And that's why I want to talk to some men today. Never you tell your wife that don't go and report me to anybody. If you report me to anybody, please don't do that. You will destroy like a boiling ring. I'm telling you. You know, boiling ring has no thermostat. No thermostat. It just, according to our local parents, Carrego. You just boil everything, boil everything, boil everything, boil itself, boil the house. And nothing will tell the boiling ring, stop now, you are, what's happening? A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's in the place of fellowship, people will say, how did these people love themselves? I want to be in this place. I want people to come into our family. Maybe they were thinking, oh, they are going to get some training. The supernatural is natural here. But when they come here, let them see family. Let them see family. The world was created in a family meeting. Let us make man. How do you think that you can do life without family? Even the occult group. Their power is not because they have power. It's the power of community. But if we walk in the light as in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. As we walk together, that's when the efficacy of the blood is stronger. You want to walk in purity? More fellowship. Broaden your perspective through Bible reading and studying. Broaden your perspective through Bible reading and studying. Broaden it. Broaden it. The way you see life may not be the real way. May not be the way the life is. Broaden your perspective. You must read your Bible. Today, because of many Bible software, we don't invest in Bible anymore. There are tools to uncover and uncode the Bible. Buy Bible tools. Bible studying tools. It's not cheap, my brother. There are some Bibles you buy, $2,000. $700,000 for Bible. $1,000 is 360,000 naira. Somebody say, but you drive 3.something million naira car. And nobody will say, You see what I'm talking about? Your manual for life is what you put in your back pocket. 200 naira. 250. Bible here, Bible here. That man. Brother, where we are white. Listen. Can you see? Listen, the devil has been taking, we have given credit to the devil for what he did not do. You can't be looking at small Bible print and not sleep. And you cannot. And there are some Bible you cannot understand because it's not your language. Thou sayest, you are wondering what's going on here. It was written in 1611. 1611. In John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are really my disciples. And you will know the truth. and the truth will set you free. There are truths that will set free. There are truths that will set free. Some people might look at you and say, oh, my wife. There are some things you can't change in your wife, you can't change in your husband. Huh? The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Pray for wisdom. That's how you broaden your perspective. My wife must change before I love her. My husband must change before I respect him. Listen, perspective. You need to go into a higher perspective, seated with Christ Jesus, and read your manual. And that's how, as you study it, you now know. Husband, treat your wife with understanding, not knowledge. Truth. Listen, the Bible is the only book you read with the author. As you read the Bible, I say, sweet Holy Spirit. In Psalm 119, David penned down the power of his word. One of it is said in verse 18. He said, open my eyes, O Lord, that I will see wonderful things in your law. As you open your Bible every day, have a Bible reading plan. You may not know the verses and everything. You need to read the Bible. You need to recite the Bible. You need to cram it, to memorize the Bible. You need to memorize. But read it first. Know what the story is about before somebody come and tell you that Judas bought coconut. Listen. It's true. Before somebody tells you should go and eat grass and say you are sheep, say sheep. What does sheep do? So, read your Bible. In fact, when we are in CM, say read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. If you want to grow, read your Bible. Increase your joy through witnessing. There's a joy that happens to you as somebody hears your story. As somebody comes to tell you, you see that thing that happens? One of my pastor friends, Pastor Matthew Amile, went for a training in America and it's on negotiation. So they asked him, what do you do? I'm a pastor. He said, what are you doing in negotiating? One of the participants was, I said, I don't even know. Maybe it's you, because it's because of you I came on. And the person now came to ask him. He said, an atheist. He said, how do you think that God is real? That day he just said, he prayed with the person and said, you know what? Let's pray. And let me tell God to show himself to you. I think in the morning the man was knocking on his door and said, he came to me. He came. The joy of witnessing. Some people say, my heart is not in tune with God anymore. I said, forget. You want your heart to be in tune with God? Take your Bible, go for evangelism. Straight. Go to your bank account, close it, give it to God. Quickly. For where your treasure is. There's no two ways about it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, it says, always be prepared to give answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. What's the hope you have that something will happen? What's the hope you have for that this our nation that we are will not go down? Give a reason. But the Bible says, do it with gentleness and respect. Don't go and train people into the kingdom. I'm preaching to you, you are not hearing now. I'm preaching to you, you are not hearing now. Let me tell you how a fire will be. Paul Yonggi Cho was doing that and he was getting results until he met a woman and described how hell would be like. The woman said, I want to go there. Because what I'm going through now, that place is small. The love of God. Does it not shock you that this year you have not even evangelized? And how do you evangelize the first? Jesus taught us how to evangelize from in Luke chapter 10. He said, when you enter a city, bless the city. So when our brother Nathaniel was saying he did prayer work, many of you do not understand that. There are many of you should have your colleague's name in your diary, praying for them. Instead of telling them, say, see, they're too like women for this office. You know, sometimes Christians will gossip. Why did they bring you to a womanizer's office? To be light. As you hug the person, you are hugging the person intentionally. Because what is overshadowing will overshadow the person. Do a prayer walk around your this thing. Your boss that is wayward, start targeting his heart. That's why apostolic prayers are three dimensions. The particular apostolic prayer is about the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the wisdom of the Spirit. As you begin to release it into the hearts of the people, one day they will wake up and say, come, I want to talk to you. Because who you love, you don't gossip. In Luke 15, 6, 7, he said, and he goes home. Then he calls his friends. This is talking about the parable of the lost sheep. And neighbors together and said, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you the truth, in that same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I was here thinking, and Precious, who is one of our leaders in the teenagers' church, was teaching us during the Unbound and said, the shepherd left the 99 because they were in community and went to look for the 9. Because in community, you are safety. Who is the lost sheep in your family? I was talking to Pastor Otas. He said, the first person that gave his life to Christ was his eldest brother from his mother's side, from my mother's side. So that was the first person that gave his life to Christ. And before they knew it, everybody in the house. I know some people, they are packed out of their house. They change their name. Say that family, God forbid. The Bible says, be ye separate. Say, be ye separate. So I separate myself. I dodge. Anything that I jump and pass. And God brought you into their family like David. He brought David to a family. Because of David, all the brothers came to the cave of Adullam. Because of David, the father and the mother were preserved. David. God began to show us some of the things that were supposed to happen in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. The prototype. Your mother should give her life to Christ because of you. Your father should give your life to Christ. Before her father died, her father was going to church by himself. The man that banned church in the house was not the one propagating the gospel. Leave them for a while. It's God that created them. He holds the heart of the king in his hand. We are priest and king unto our God. You must understand that. Psalm 51 verse 12 to 3 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your law ways so that sinners will turn back to you. I will teach transgressors your ways. Listen, your evangelism should be a lifestyle and also talking to. People should see your lifestyle and also hear your weaknesses. You are audiovisual Christian. Not only visual. He said, no, I won't tell them, they will see my life. Do you know that there are many Christians who are in, I see them in social media, say, this is not Bible. They'll be saying, I'll be looking at them. Say. It's like somebody says, say, I'm weak, this is not food now. No food time. Even some Muslims that you think they read your Bible. I was preaching in Lagos Somebody said, he said, I read the Bible to argue with Christians. He was a Muslim until he encountered God. Now he's not propagating Christ. He was seated in church. As I was preaching about, who are you becoming? He said, this is the message for today. He said, nobody evangelized to me. He said, Jesus came to me. As you do prayer work, Jesus appears to people. You know how they evangelize Muslim now? They tell them, let the man in white appear to them. You can't even convert them. They are more discipled than you. But the moment he received Jesus, he said, no going back. And the moment you give your life to Christ, if you are a stone this thing, even your brother can kill you immediately. There's no this thing. He's justified for killing you. He did it for the sake of Allah. Because you are an infidel now. And so, for them to give their life to Christ and face death is conviction. And so, we need to start ministering and start throwing arrows. Some of you need to take the avalanche oil and go to the doorknob of your car and do some prophetic act as God tells you what to do. Please don't go and put oil anywhere so that they will not tell you are the one that you say, who told you? Say, my pastor said, no. Pray to God and ask him, because it's not a formula. Am I making sense at all? Put your love to practice through giving. Giving shows how you love God. Giving. You can love. You can give and not love. But you cannot love and not give. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 and 8 says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnest of we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in the grace of God. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. He said, now, I want you to increase, excel in the grace of giving. You have excelled in spiritual. Things are happening very well. But there's one more thing. Excel in this grace of giving. Giving is not, listen, giving is not an idea. It's not a suggestion. There is no person that is a disciple who owns anything. He's been discipled and trying to become like the one that is discipling him. He said they look at Jesus and they look at the disciples and they took note of them that they have been with Jesus. That's discipleship. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money you have earned and give it as an offering. Give it as an offering. You know, many of us, those days, I think I thought the best spiritual giving was when somebody preached a powerful message and said, now! God can move like that. I thought that spontaneous giving was the best form of giving. No. It's systematic, planned carefully. Question I should ask, what's your weekend offering every week? Some of you plan your buying of shoe. You calculate. You say 14,000. Don't worry. Every month I'll be giving you 2,000 for 7 months. That's systematic. You set it aside from your salary for expenses that will never shoe that you will use very soon, and all this rain that used to be shoe. You don't have car. Systematic giving. It's on every, put it aside. The first day of the week, put it aside. You don't come to church and be looking at your bag. What will I give now? Do you know why we give you envelope? Because of this. Pray and ask God. It's a give and it will be given. Some people say it's not about money, but you see, let me tell you something. God will use some scriptures that even if it's not in line to talk to you. This kingdom starts with give. There's no baby that survives, it does not cry. Let them burn you now and you refuse to cry. And see whether the nurse will be telling you, baby. They will first of all slap you, turn you upside down, shake you. Beat you until you are bread and blue. Why? Give!
If they can do baby like that, why will life not do you like that? You can't, until you give, you were born to give. You were born to give. Forget about all this. People say, hey, must you give? Must you give? He said, no, no, I will do it by myself. Listen, let's calculate your checkbook now and see whether you love God. He said, I serve God. How you did they serve God? Go and check an Igbe worshiper and calculate their bank statement. And see what they have given. Malachi 3:8. He said, where have you robbed me? How are you robbing me? In tithes and offering. You're under a curse. Your whole nation, because you are robbing. You see, let me tell you, as a family and you are doing life with somebody, ask the person, are you giving? Because you know what? There's a corporate blessing on individual, on all of us tithing together. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. The only place God said, test me. The only place is your giving. He didn't say, when you pray, test me whether they won't be well. Somebody was owing $81 million in this church. He went everywhere. When he came for cancer, I said, tight. He started tithing small, small. The debt disappeared. Why? This life, are you ole? So it's your Yoruba people. Why are you complicating your life like this? He said, I don't want to give. Keep the money. Keep it and be fine. Have you seen a farmer that said, this corn this year, no matter how your grandmother loves you, don't touch her corn on top of the fire. No matter how she loves you, that corn they put on top of Wawa. Sorry. That corn they preserve so that smoke will be driving everything that wants to eat this thing. Don't go and say, I say you want to use to do guguru, they will guguru your face, that I'm telling you. Keep developing your talents by true service. Keep developing your talents through service. Keep developing your talents through service. Develop your talents through service. Develop your talents through service. Develop. And today I see people, they just want to be paid for their talent. They just want to be paid for their talent. If you are not paying, they can't do. Say, whatsoever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. In Romans 12:6, the Bible says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Use them in proportion of your faith. It says, are you good at giving? Give. Are you good at service? Serve. Are you good at encouraging? Encourage one another. Are you good at teaching? Teach one another. That is your gift. The more you practice it, and how do you practice it? In the family house. In the family house. In the family house. Practice hospitality here and see whether you will not be so good in your hospitality company. Practice it. People don't want to serve anymore. You say they give me money. They pay me. Unknown to you through service, some of the things you think you know is removed. How do I know this? When I was in my 100 level to 200, 300 level, I was reading very hard. But I understood that when I was getting to final year, the mark was 55%. 100 to 300 level, there was 45%. 55%. And I knew that if I don't do anything, the 2-1 I'm looking for, I will not get it. You know what saved me? I started doing tutorials free for my classmates. Then I now discovered they will be asking me questions. And I will solve, I will fail. I say, that's how I was answering questions, thinking that you go and read very well. You go and hide and read and think you're a scholar. You're a scholar. You read, you hide and lead, you go and do this thing. Then sometimes they ask me some difficult question, I say, give me tomorrow. I'll go and research. They're honing my skill. The next time when I graduated and NYC did not give me money, give me my call-up letter for 6 months. That same thing I was doing, I started doing it for younger ones and they started paying me. Same thing. Same thing. So people went for NYC 6 months, they did not end the work I end. Why? Because you develop. And everywhere you develop your skills, always service that place. That is your shrine. The where you got it, that's why I say don't forsake the gates of little beginning. Where they taught you how to pray, where they taught you how to do this thing, you are not doing guy. You can't. That's what I do here. Now, see, they do this kind of thing. We don't graduate. Keep stretching your faith by taking risk. This life is not about comfort and convenience. Listen, it's from faith to faith. All these things I'm sharing with you is our culture here. Take risk. Take risk. Don't stay in one place. You gave 2,000 last week. Huh? This week, this year. Last year, your giving was this, increase it. Because as you were increasing, I know the shoe you used to wear before. Me and you know. Some of you have known you people. Before you marry, we know ourselves. After you marry, I know you now. You used to pray only 1 hour. Take risk. Two. You used to read only one chapter a day. Start reading 10. Increase your this thing. Increase your level of sacrifice. He said everything is possible for him who believes. God is telling you, this is what I want you to do for me this year. It doesn't look very possible, but go for it. The more you step out in faith, the more he will back you up. The more you step out in faith, the more he backs you up. Don't stay in one place, say, I've arrived. No, you have never arrived. You only arrive when you get home to see your father. That's when you have arrived. Ask people that even do business. They do this thing. But in your spiritual life, take risk. Take risk in your Bible read. Take risk in your prayer. Take risk in your fellowship. Take risk. Some of you, God is telling you, what I taught you before, I want you to gather 12 young boys and begin to pour into them. You say, I don't have time. Take risk. Gather 3 girls, 4 girls, 6 girls, and start pouring into them. He said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. According to your word. According to your word. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And what did the Bible says in Romans 14, 23? But whoever has that in his heart is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Is sin. That your giving that you have decided to give this year, is it by faith? Is it by faith? And when you take risk, you stretch. You never go back to your original position. You keep on taking risk. There's a tendency for something to tell you, go back to your comfort zone. But there's no comfort zone in this kingdom. It's about adventure. It's about adventure. How can we go and adopt a community? Are we government? Huh? I remember those days we used to do teach for Nigeria. My wife was sharing it. We print books for secondary school for free and give them. The people will be saying, now because I get money for here. Have you seen the books before? This week I called our staff together and I showed them our books. They said, no, don't show us again. I said, no, you will see. He said, how is it balancing? Listen, here, can I say something to you? And as I round off, never you budget based on your resources. Budget based on his voice. Rise up on your feet. Hold your brother's hand. Hold your brother's hand. And I just want you to pray. Father, help me. Help me. Help my brother. Help my sister to go back to the basics. Help us to go do spiritual exercises again. Everywhere we have been spiritually still, our spirit man is not in his right fitness. Help us. Help us to pray. Help us to fast. Help us to position for the next 40 days that we are doing a campaign starting from August 10th. to September. Lord, help us to fast. Help us to stay waiting for you. Even as we go into the key of David this week that is coming, this fourth day of the week, mighty God, help us. Help us. You know I can't stay in one place for 1 hour. You know I can't stay in one place for 10 minutes. But with you, nothing is impossible. Help me to read my Bible. Open my eyes to see wonderful things in your law. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Pray for your brother. Let your brother be hearing your voice. I pray for my sister. I pray for my brother. Let us, give us the strength for this spiritual fitness. Let us do these exercises. These 8 exercises. Give me that desire for risk as it relates to my finances, as it relates to fellowship, as it relates to worship, as it relates to prayer, as it relates to developing my talents and using it to serve. Come on, lift up your voice. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.